Father, for the next few minutes, I pray that you would echo once again the power of these seemingly meaningless names, people we don't know about. Would you cause their faith to encourage us? In Jesus' name, amen. What's interesting about these people that we just read about in Colossians is there's not a chapel, there's not a hospital, there's not a college, there's not a book. You've never heard of the St. Tychicus Hospital or the chapel dedicated to Aristarchus. They don't exist. These were, quote, nobodies. And Kent Hughes, in his commentary on this passage, told this story. He said there was an auctioneer who was auctioning off some items out of an estate, and he came across a violin that was dirty and dusty, and he was pretty put out that he had to auction off this junky violin. And he starts the bidding at $1, and it gets its way up to $3. And as it gets to $3, and he's going once, going twice, an old man stands up and walks up to the podium and grabs the violin, tunes it, tightens the bow, and plays it. And the people in the audience said that the playing of the violin was angelic in its melody. Hands the violin back to the auctioneer, and the auctioneer says, "Let's start the bidding now at $1,000. And by the end of the auction, that violin sold for $3,000. And a lady later on said, "What happened? Went from $3 to $3,000, this same violin." And the auctioneer said, "The master touched it." We just came out of the resurrection celebration the last few weeks. What happened to these nobodies? They were touched by the master. They walked in the power of the resurrection. They weren't nobodies. They were touched by the master. And this is good news for us as nobodies. I don't see any Apostle Pauls here. I don't see any Peters. I see a bunch of Tychicuses and Nymphas and Aristarchuses and the lot. And that's good news. God wants to use us. You see, what if Tychicus had never delivered Paul's letter to Ephesus, to the church there? We wouldn't have Ephesians. What if Epaphras had never taken the gospel to Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis? We wouldn't have the letter to the Colossians. You see, these men and women God used to propel forward the gospel in Paul's day, and we're sitting here in 2015 reading about the same people. They outlasted the Roman Empire. So we should listen to them. This is powerful stuff. And so I'm just going to take these names, and I'm going to talk through them. I'm not going to hit all of them. We don't have time for that. And I want you to see in their story, your story. I want you to think about the teams that you're on, whether it's your family, this church, the expansion team. And I want you to see yourself in these men and women. Let's start with the first one. This first group I just have called power players. These are Paul's power players. The first one is Tychicus. Look at verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. A trifecta of commendation. And I hope someday those are words said about me. Beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant. The word for beloved brother here, Paul uses the word brother or brethren when he's talking about his relationship to people in the church, but the word brother is always used for those that he has a deep personal relationship and affection for. He calls Tychicus his beloved brother. He is secondly a faithful minister, and thirdly a fellow servant. Both of these words, the word for minister is the word that we get deacon from. He was a faithful deacon. He was a minister, but he was also a doulos, or really the Greek here is son doulos, a bond servant. He was with Paul in the slavery to Christ. He had been unleashed from the bondage of sin in the Roman Empire and had been captivated by Christ, and he's a fellow slave. A couple months ago, I was in the office of Danielle's cousin, who is General Joe Girard, and he's over the Army National Guard in Georgia. And we're close, and I was in his office, I was there doing some work, and I was sitting in his office, and right on his table next to his desk was a little booklet called A Message to Garcia. And all you military guys will know exactly what I'm talking about. This little booklet called A Message to Garcia is basically this. This soldier's commanding officer gives him an assignment. He says, I want you to take this message to Garcia. They're in Cuba. And without equivocation, without qualification, the soldier takes the command and goes and delivers the message to Garcia. And the whole little booklet is about what it means to be a subordinate. Because today, most people would say, well, which Garcia? And where does he live? And which unit is he in? What's his phone number? And all these qualifications. And the point of the letter in the chain of command is when you're given an assignment, you go do it. Figure it out for yourself. And it's interesting, when you look at the language of this passage about Tychicus, all of it is warlike in its language. Paul understood them to be in a wartime period. Fellow servant, bond slave. Tychicus was on a mission. What was his mission? Take this letter to Ephesus, take this letter to Colossae, take this letter to Laodicea, take this letter to Hierapolis. When I read that message to Garcia, I couldn't help but think about our boy Tychicus here. He was a faithful minister. The second person I'd like to highlight is outside of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. This is the third person I want to meet when we get to heaven. Partly because of my deep conviction of multiplication. And here's what I mean, Epaphras. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. If we just hold your place there and turn over to chapter 1 of Colossians. When Paul introduces the letter in verse 7 of Colossians 1, he says, just as you learned this gospel from Epaphras, who is a beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He gets the same commendation that Tychicus got. Tychicus and Epaphras were close with Paul. But what I want you to see here, Paul never went to Colossae. He's in prison in Rome. How did the gospel get to Colossae? Epaphras. More than likely, Epaphras met Paul in Ephesus. It was part of the riots in Acts that Luke speaks about. But what rings through my head when I think about Epaphras and Tychicus is what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be able to teach others. For a soldier wants to please his commanding officer. And Epaphras and Tychicus were just that. But notice something interesting about Epaphras. His struggle on behalf of his people in prayer. The word here is where we get our word for agony. He was in agony over the people of Colossae, that they be formed in Christ, that they stand mature, that they would endure persecution and heresy and suffering. Epaphras labored hard on behalf of his people. This is so encouraging for us as we think about going downtown. Some of us need to labor and agonize for the people of Lexington. Our people. The people of the Bluegrass. For the glory of Christ and the good of the Bluegrass. That's what we're about. We are the Epaphrases of Fayette County. Of Lexington. Struggling on behalf of its people. And the churches here. I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you. The work of the gospel is hard work. A third one that I'll just hit briefly of these power players is Aristarchus. And the reason I point him out is Paul says, Aristarchus, in verse 10, my fellow prisoner greets you. You know, you kind of read that and go, oh, fellow prisoner. And then you go, what? He's in jail with Paul. He's not just a sympathizer. He's there. It's just one sentence. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And it's loaded with impact. Where are those men and women that walk that close with you, even to jail? I have some of those men and women in my life. They are powerful men and women. So Tychicus, Aristarchus, Epaphras. We didn't even have time to talk about Nympha. The church in Laodicea and Colossae area met in her home. There's so much we could talk about with her faith and what God was doing in her life. These were power players to Paul. But then there's a second group that I want us to look at, and I call these power enhancers. These no doubt have the same type impact as we'll see, but from a different way. Paul's relationship to them came in an awkward manner. First one, Mark, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you've received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Folks, this is where the Bible is amazing in its connectivity. If we just had this, Mark, cousin of Barnabas, comes to you. Oh, that's cool. What's the instructions? But if you know the history, if you go back to Acts 15, Mark and Paul's history was not a good one. It didn't start well for these guys. In Acts 15, Luke tells us that Barnabas and Paul had an intense struggle over whether Mark ought to be a part of Paul's team. Paul said, no, he's a deserter. He left me in this other place. I don't want him. I don't know his heart. I'm not sure he's fully committed. And they had a sharp disagreement. And in Acts 15, Mark and Barnabas go this way, and Paul and Silas go this way. There's so much we could talk about here. God is not scared of our conflict. Two missionary teams came out of conflict. But what also we see here in Colossians 4, something has happened to Mark. Now, hold your place there and turn over to 2 Timothy, because it goes even further. 2 Timothy 4, 11. Acts 15, Mark and Paul sharply leave each other. Colossians 4, Paul's giving some instructions about what they're to do with this boy Mark. A few years later, 2 Timothy 4, 11. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in the ministry. This is so encouraging. You have conflict, you have difficulty with people. The gospel can and should restore and renew. So when you read the scholars talk about this, they said two things happen. Mark was able to sit under the shepherding encouragement of the son of encouragement, Barnabas, for years. And also, Paul's message of the gospel was not that out there, but was in here. He too changed. He walked with the risen Lord. And it had manifestation in his forgiveness and grace towards Mark. No doubt on every team you'll ever be on, there will be those relationships that require you to move towards difficulty, towards conflict, towards mercy and grace. You choose trust. You choose love. You choose harmony. Why? Jesus did that with you. The incarnation is the best example of this. He came from heaven to earth for you. He pursued you. He went after you, the lost sheep. He went after you, the lost coin. He went after you. Let us not be a people that pulls back from Christian conflict, but goes after it. The fact that this one 6-word sentence is in Colossians is Holy Spirit power for us to say, God can handle our conflict. Look at Mark. Mark wrote the gospel of Mark. Are you kidding? This guy wouldn't even be allowed on Paul's team in Acts 15, and now he's got the passage that our preacher has been preaching at in Lexington, Kentucky for the last 2 years. That's gospel restoration. Amen? Amen. But not only do you see Mark here, there's another man here mentioned. His name is Onesimus. We have a whole book called Philemon that's written addressing this former slave, Onesimus. And the whole point, we don't have time to go into it again, is Onesimus had run away from Colossae and had met Paul, providentially, coincidentally, right, in Ephesus, and Paul leads him to Christ. And Onesimus is now sent back to Colossae and Philemon. So when Tychicus and the guys brought the letter of Laodicea and Colossae, they also brought with them a letter to Philemon, a person. Paul wanted to directly address this issue between Philemon and Onesimus. And here in Colossians 4, Onesimus will tell you how we're doing. He's with us here in Rome in jail. He'll tell you how I'm doing. It's just hard to miss when you look at this in any kind of depth, the restorative renewal power of the gospel in these men's lives. And then lastly, power enhancer. I just thought this was interesting. Luke, verse 14, the beloved physician greets you. Why would Paul need a doctor with him? There's a lot of speculation, but I like to think that Paul was very much a weak man physically. Understood his weakness. He'd been beaten 3 times, almost to death. And what this says to me, particularly as a leader of teams, is that sometimes a leader needs a doctor next to him. Sometimes he needs to travel with someone who's going to make up for his physical, emotional, and spiritual weaknesses. And I just love it that the Spirit told us that Paul had a doctor next to him. So all you doctors, be encouraged. Walk with your Pauls. All right, lastly, and as a warning, are power takers. And again, if we don't have the inerrant, all-powerful, God-written, inspired word connecting this, we miss it. But look at Colossians 4:14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. You read that and you go, and? Who's Demas? Well, in God's providence, we have another passage about Demas, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you need to hear this, folks. Because on every team, as Coach Cal told us all year, what will kill this dream team of prima donnas and McDonald's All-Americans? Selfishness. How do I get 9 guys who have scored 30 points since they were 4 to buy into 20 minutes a game and 9 points a game? He said, I got to teach them to be selfless. Well, Cal didn't come up with that, as much as he might think he'd like to. It's true of any team. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. The mention of Demas in Colossians and again in 2 Timothy serves as a warning. There will be people on teams that are worldly in their thinking, worldly in their ambition, their posturing and performing, they're slandering, they're hard-hearted, they're selfish, they're suspicious, they meet in groups in little corners, they keep records of wrongs. Be very careful of these people. Paul had Demas, and in love with this world, he deserted him. And every commentary you read about this says this was probably very hurtful to Paul. And so this passage here in Colossians, he just says, and Demas was there. And some commentators say Paul knew there was something going on with Demas. He didn't give any kind of accolades, didn't give any kind of information about him. He just says Demas is there. But I think he serves as a warning for us. All right, go back to Colossians 4 and let's finish the passage. Verse 18. This is amazing. Colossians 4:18. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If you can get the scene, Paul is sitting in the Roman prison. He takes the pen and he begins to write himself. Why would he do that? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, there was an issue of authority that he wanted to make sure it was understood that he was saying all that he had said from Colossians 1:4 now. There was also an issue of care. I want these folks in Colossae to know some of these hard things I've said, some of these lofty things I've talked about, they come from a heart that cares. So Paul writes the greeting in his own hand. That's encouraging to us. to see the pastoral nature of what Paul's trying to tell us even today. But look at the two things that he says. He says, remember my chains. And a better translation is, remember my bonds. He's asking them to remember his time in jail. Remember that he's in jail. There's a couple of reasons he's doing this. One is the word remember here literally moves you to understand that he's asking for prayer. Pray for me. He said earlier in some of his letters, the servant is chained. The gospel is not chained. Pray that the gospel would go forward even as I am in prison. Pray. But then pray for me. Pray that I would have endurance and faith in this jail. But I think he's also saying, folks, you need to remember this gospel will go forward with sacrifice. I'm in jail. I've been beaten. Remember this. This is not a bed of roses. This is not an easy life. It will bring chains and bonds and prison and suffering. If you think for 1 minute we're not going to experience this as a church and we launch downtown, just get your seatbelt on. Any sort of expansion and growth brings trial and suffering and difficulty. Yes, it's pruning, it's growth. Our team is expanding. And I think we should hear Paul say, remember, remember the suffering, remember the bonds. But he doesn't leave them there. He says, grace be with you. And in the ESV, it misses the definite article. It's the grace be with you. What the grace? Well, what gets Paul through his imprisonment? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What will get Tychicus and Epaphras through taking these letters to the churches, through the Roman Empire, through the persecution of the day? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will get Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church through? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace from beginning to end. And just like we started, these nobodies, supposed nobodies, were touched by grace. They were touched by the Master's hand. And you and I, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have committed yourself to the forgiveness that's given at the cross, but you are walking in the power of the resurrection, this grace is yours too. And so I would just end by saying with Paul, the grace be with you as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these men and these women. As the writer of Hebrews said, these are men for whom the world is not worthy. They live outside time and space now. They live in the eternal dwelling and peace of their unity with you. And we follow in their train. Lord, I pray that as we function on our family teams, on our church teams, on our ministry teams, on expansion teams, on whatever team we're about, you would make us faithful servants like these men and women. Thank you for this passage and its grace to our life. In Jesus' name, amen.